You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Live from Metro Detroit, Radio Ready Music Group presents
This is the Lunch Table Podcast
with Russell the Four.
You can't sit with us, bitch.
Peace to the planet. My name is Russell the Fourth, songwriter, producer, all around good guy, depending on who you are talking to. Opinions may vary. If you are tuned in right now via Podcast Detroit's stream, or if you're tuned into our pre-recorded video, shout out to Franchise Media Group. You are tuned into the very first episode of the Lunch Table Podcast.
Hey,
oh my God, it's a lit good day today, and you should feel honored right now.
Hey,
being a part of this situation.
We live, baby.
We live, man. Joining with me today, I have a very special person, and it's almost like a reunion as of sorts, as I haven't seen the homie. I want to say maybe a small child, 10 years.
Yeah.
More than that, right?
It might be. We've talked, but it's...
Yeah, I'm talking about the face-to-face.
Yeah. Let's go to 10.
Go to 10, man. It's a whole small child since we've seen each other. Man, it was good seeing you, laying eyes on you, bruh. How's things been?
Good.
Right now, if you don't know whose voice you're hearing, I'm talking to recording artist, curator, hip-hop historian, and I don't even say hip-hop, I'm going to just say music historian, Train Freeman, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Put your hands together, please. Hey. Thank you very much. It's a beautiful day.
What's going on, world?
How you been, G?
I couldn't have said it better myself, man. I'm blessed. How you doing?
Man, I'm blessed, man. You know what I always respected about you?
What's up?
As an artist, right, there's the act of making music and throwing it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you do the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Quality visuals from jump. Number one, got to put respect on the visuals.
Appreciate
and I'm going
that.
I'm going back to the J's joint, the retros joint, right?
Yeah.
Quality visuals from jump.
Mm-hmm.
Merch.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Hey.
No, you being humble right now. I need you to talk your cash.
Hey, I'm just doing what I got to do, man. You have to... You know, as time goes on, I've really learned you can't really rely on anybody else to push your vision besides yourself. And, you know, I've just always been extremely calculated. Sometimes I overthink things, but I have a vision for what I want, and I just want to see that executed, you know.
Fact.
Whether it be with records, merch, just songs, is I want to see, you know, the whole vision come to fruition. So
definitely.
I take my time with it, you know.
So what's on the horizon, man? What you got going on?
New music, just dropped the merch line, Plotting on a Million, which is based off of my song Radio Raheem.
Radio Raheem.
Yeah, so, man, just really.
Plotting on a Million. If y'all have it, man, YouTube right now, Train Freeman, Radio Raheem.
Uh-huh.
Check out the whole, I'm telling you, man, quality visuals, and you could tell you're dealing with artists who cares about the product, man. It doesn't stop at the music. You're going to get dope merch. You're going to get dope visuals. You're going to get lyrics. You're going to get tracks. I'm telling you, man, it's the whole package.
Trying to get all of that, man.
Yeah, like, man.
I'm giving you everything, especially,
man.
You know, 2019 is bright.
For sure.
I'm not going to be like the rest of y'all, say this is my year. It's going to be a great year.
There you go. So if it's your first time tuning in, which it is because it's the first time ever doing this, the Lunch Table Podcast is a podcast that is all about pop culture, music, the music business, with a special emphasis on a genre that is near and dear to my heart as a creator, as a songwriter, as a producer. We talking about R&B music, right? So something interesting I saw on Twitter, Ella May posted, she made a tweet, and it was like the day after her album dropped, and I thought it was really interesting.
Okay.
I think it's a good segue. She said, R&B was never dead. Thanks for attending my TED Talk.
Right? I saw that.
Right? Nice little flex, right? Yeah. What do you think about that, man? Was R&B dead?
I appreciate what she's doing, but, you know, there was a time when it was, I won't say dead, it was dormant. Yeah. You know, I don't know if that's the same thing, but in my mind, it's two different things. Like, it wasn't dead, it just, there was a time in which that transition period where hip-hop became the dominant, the real dominant genre. Like, you know, going back to 80s, 90s, it was good to have your R&B, I mean, your your hip hop feature on certain records and things like that.
Yeah.
But it was like, it got to the point where, I think we'll call it, going, you know, kind of mark the era, 2009, moving forward, that became the Drake era. What I mean is that we wanted to hear melodies.
You touching on a subject right now.
But we wanted the average listener, the consumer, indirectly preferred to hear melodies from rappers who had melodies versus classically trained vocalists.
Yeah.
You know, like if you take a Drake song where he's singing and you have somebody like let's imagine, close your eyes right now and imagine Tank singing "Just Hold On, We're Coming Home." It's dope, but at the same time, it's something about, because Drake can sing, but he's not he can't blow.
I'm glad you brought that up, and I want to point this out. And because you see, and that's why I got you here, Train, because you know what you're talking about, right? So I had a theory, right? Because when I saw the tweet, I was like, R&B dead. Now, it's definitely not what it was. Mm-hmm. I think we all can agree on that.
Okay.
But I need to know, because number one, R&B just kind of like melted into something else, and it kind of started venturing off into other genres, and they were calling it something else, right? So for instance, right, you have artists like Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
And the album, not this Man of the Woods joint that he dropped, which was
we don't even discuss that. I legit until a couple
hella
days ago
trash.
Forgot that it existed.
Hella trash, man.
His power and influence couldn't even sell us that mediocre.
But the
album.
Joint before that, the Suit and Tie?
Oh yeah.
You're not gonna tell me 2020 wasn't an R&B album.
Yeah.
But he's white. So we call it pop.
We called it pop, yeah.
Right? Hey, yeah. The homies here. Listen, if we got a camera pan to the homie right now, always fashionable and always fashionably late.
All right.
The homie Marcus Summerall. you good, G. Listen, I was telling the listeners right now, it's been a whole human child since I've seen this man right here, and I want to say even longer, with me and you, right? Yeah, man, it's been a grip since I seen Marcus, man. It's been an entire human child. I want to say this child is an adolescent, right? This child is a teenager. But Marcus is another cat who, even though he's a hip-hop head, just in general with music, he just has a vast knowledge, right? So, Marcus, you just coming in, but we're talking about R&B, right? And LMA tweeted that R&B was never dead, right? We having a discussion about that. So, Adele, right now, because she's a white woman, right? Her music is called pop. But you're not telling me Fire to the Rain, Aretha could have sung that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like Jason Derulo, because he's black, we call it R&B. But that's pop music.
That's a whole nother conversation within itself. Like so black artists
Jason
who are.
Jason Derulo is interesting.
Yeah, right?
He's an anomaly for not a good reason, but keep going.
So. Did Drake ruin R&B to a bit? Because if we're talking about that, and he wasn't the first artist to rap and sing as well, right? Because we know we had Lauryn Hill before. Mm-hmm. Queen Latifah could hit a few notes, but she was a hip-hop artist. But when we talk about this hybrid of rapping and singing, and almost to the point where the vocals were so dumbed down, niggas wasn't even really singing anymore. It was just like this monotone whispering on the note, "Just hold on, I'm going home." You know, like it wasn't even really singing no more. Yeah. Did Drake contribute to the subtle, slowly weakening of R&B?
No. I think. Go ahead.
No. I need to hear. Okay, hold on for a second. I just need to segue real quick. This is disgusting. If you could pan in on this. I got the winter edition Red Bull plum flavor.
It's trash.
It's trash, man, unless they want to pay me some money, in which case it's delicious. And it's available everywhere where energy drinks are sold.
Shouldn't be drinking Red Bulls, man.
You right, man.
That was the first mistake. But I want to dial in.
For sure.
I was charging to the party.
Headphones, G. I got a lot of fun.
I don't need it.
A lot of fun stuff playing through here. Sound effects.
So let's dial in. The reason Adele is pop is because she catches a bigger net. If she was Jasmine Sullivan, if her net was Jasmine Sullivan's net, she would be an R&B artist.
But when Jasmine Sullivan reaches a certain level, is she considered pop now?
That's what pop, but pop is popular.
That's what it's supposed to be.
No, that's what it is. Hip hop is rap is the most popular genre of music now. So rap is pop.
but they don't call it
to some to some degree, because there are certain rappers that, you know, have a bigger net, but there are others that, you know, purposely, you know, keep it smaller. But at the same time, when they keep it smaller, they keep it profitable.
I feel like the only artists who are minorities that get that pop stamp are ones, and I could be the, like, ultimate stereotypical, like, black man response right now, but the ones that's, like, racially ambiguous. Michael Jackson, that nigga was not looking like a nigga.
But that, that's the old, like...
Bruno.
Okay, hold on.
I think, boy, Bruno, to me, is an R&B artist.
He is. He put out a new Jack Swing album.
But we pushed him away, though.
I gotta find it. Can we play
audio? We put him in a separate genre because he looked like that. But it's with music, I think, like, you have to keep changing with the times. Like, we're judging pop music off of the standard, off of 8-track.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's streaming. So that's why you got to, like, move it forward with what it is and what's really going on. But I won't give Drake the whole killing of it, because if you go back, you got to think about Ja Rule for him being a singer and what he did for making it be obtainable. Like, Ja Rule did, he made great music, but
talk him that
doing,
cash.
Him doing it made it be like, oh, then it was more people to say, like, oh, I can do it at this level. And so that's what kind of helped. Like, not him specifically, but you can pinpoint someone who made it easier to be like, oh, I can do that.
What would I be without you?
Yeah. But, and this has been going on for a while, so I'll put two people up there in specific. Like, Ja Rule was supposed to be where Wayne was and where Drake was, you know, pre-50 Cent.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think, right when he was at the top, he had started to write for Enrique Iglesias, you know.
He had J-Lo,
Mary J. Blige, Rainy. Like, he was becoming a genre of hit maker within itself, you know. And when he, as we say, his career was destroyed, it changed a lot of stuff. So that leaves the door open. Kanye, 808s and Heartbreak kind of opened that door again.
I think that's what killed
And that's what, that's the door that Drake technically ran through, because without 808s came out in November of 2008. Mm-hmm. So Far Gone comes out in February 2009.
What's your name? I'm sorry, man.
I'm Train.
Train.
Yeah. Train Freeman.
Train Freeman,
Oh, you hear these, man.
We meeting people on the mic.
I played his music on Oso Radio. He probably don't even remember.
Straight. Whoa. I do remember. Because I remember submitting it to you.
Connecting dots right now. Lunch Table Podcast.
That's crazy. Yeah. You played
Jordan
Talk.
Episode 1, Connecting Dots.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
It's a beautiful occasion.
Mind blown.
we're gonna keep digging at that bag. So I like that. We more blame to Kanye West.
Yeah,
also, since we taping, what's up, King? What's up, this lady gonna tell me how to talk in the mic too.
She might hyper focus on
she
it too.
Came like, with the room.
Talk in the mic.
She came with the room.
We gonna talk.
Mics pick up everything. You got all this rubber in this room. Something better bounce off and catch.
About those lines. No, I'm playing. But back to, you know, the topic, though. Like, I don't think he killed it, but I think that, you know, he's the pinpoint for when there was a shift. And to me, what I credit R&B not doing is R&B not shifting with the times, because there's a way to shift and still not sound like, you know, you're trying to catch the waves.
Triplet, but cadence.
I also think, here's another thing. I want to get this off. I think it was Jermaine Dupri. I was watching an interview. R&B albums and artists used to have a quarterback. What I mean by that is that you had somebody to take all of your abstract pieces, songs, ideas, and kind of bring it together.
Yeah.
One of my favorite artists, we all like, Chris Brown. Chris Brown is a great artist. He's pure talent, all of that. Before Rihanna, all of that. But Chris Brown does not have that album. If you look at all of the greats, even Justin Timberlake had Timberland and Time with Pharrell.
Yeah.
Even go back to when Genuine was great. He had Timberland.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson had, you know, in the 80s, Quincy. Yeah. Then he had Teddy Riley.
Yeah.
So you're saying, you know, Chris hasn't had the album, or
he doesn't have a quarterback.
He hasn't had the quarterback. He's had the album.
What was the album?
It was the early stuff.
The more Chris has advanced and grown, the less control the powers have. So, for instance, when he came out of 17, you put him in the studio with Byron Pitts. who was Bad Boy 90s.
Oh, Mark Pitts. Yeah,
Mark Pitts. I'm tripping. Right. Mark Pitts. I'm calling him Byron Pitts. Mark Pitts, right?
I thought he said it confident.
Go ahead, get it off.
Byron Pitts.
I don't know. No, he must be a juggernaut in R&B. Juggernaut.
Mark Pitts. But Mark Pitts put that first album out. Yo, Run It.
Like, don't forget the On and Poppin'. Don't.
Yeah. The first album was fire.
But and then you get the second one.
He
where
had a good run, though.
He had a good run. But now, his popularity and what he does on stage will carry him because he's just reached a certain level to where, like, he's good now. But the quality of the music, he'll have good beats, good melodies. But what he's saying, though, as a writer, I cringe. First time I heard that there's something in this liquor drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's the melody's good. All I want to do, like, it sounds good, but what are you saying? And this rap verse, every time this nigga rap, I want to throw something.
And the label's not going to say anything because it's profitable. What they're spending on him, they're making it back. Even with him dropping, how many songs was the last album? 40-something?
Yeah, 67 songs.
So, it was divided into Netflix seasons. That was for streaming numbers, and it's gone double platinum, but it was more from a sales standpoint.
It did its job, though.
But watch this, though. Look at already. Okay, you got a good album, but then look at like the album that you're known for. Janet dropped Control, but when you're a Janet fan, you know the album that she's known for is like Rhythm Nation and Janet. Like, even with New Edition, it's like, I love me some Innie. Like, Candy Girl and the New Edition self-titled album was cool.
Hey.
But Heartbreak is the album. That's their album. Usher, My Way was good. But what are we talking about? What's the album Usher's known for? 8701 or Confessions. That's a conversation within itself.
8701 is what was the pivot for him.
Yeah.
Confessions is a flawless album. But 8701 is like, oh, Usher.
But you see what I'm saying, though, where it's like that's that one.
If I listen to Chris Moore, I would be in it. But I can't let you shit on Chris. Because Chris is the more, because he's the most talented person that we've seen in our generation.
You're right.
Probably.
But at some point.
I'm talking about in our generation, not counting Michael Jackson, because he was here when we got here.
You're talking about
performance?
I'm talking about talent.
Just in general. Oh, yeah.
But see, this is the thing about Chris Brown. Yeah. I had this conversation with a lot of people.
Like, blame niggas like Tory Lanez. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, look.
It's blame niggas like Bryson Tiller.
Okay, but to me, Bryson Tiller though is a descendant of the Drake line. But but bringing it full circle, Ja Rule has stamped him. Because
but hold on, Tiller. Hold on.
I like
Tiller is what you talking Tiller about lukewarm singing.
Oh, for sure.
But I feel like.
Hold on. In terms of that music, like that monotone black, all that, you know, not singing but really singing. He's vocally doing dope shit, like.
I don't need him.
But he okay, and that's you know that's.
But I'm saying runs.
But if
we're
gonna talk about, Chris, I'm just saying like because Chris, Chris is one of the most talented people we've ever seen.
But can you say this about Chris Brown?
All the potential, niggas need some heat
and talent. Can you say that Chris Brown has given us what we feel that his potential, you know, has?
I think early on, he was on track, but then life. It was life.
I'm talking about the quality of music. The
quality of music did take a jump. Chris's not even 30 yet, bro.
The best records he does are the ones he has nothing to do with.
But they used to say the same thing about Wayne, like, you know, in 08. And it's like, okay, he gave us stuff. But Wayne, when y'all start talking about, like, is Wayne past Jay-Z, I'll look at you like you're crazy. Like, you're right. He's younger.
I never subscribed to
that. Yeah, nah.
But I'm saying, but Chris, think about
niggas
Chris.
Niggas wouldn't even say that around
think
me.
About Chris. Chris isn't 30 yet. And the thing is, all it takes is Chris. If Chris got in there with Sean Garrett, if Chris got in there with Neo and locked in and did 10 tracks.
Oh, facts.
Chris is capable. It's just about what.
Honestly, I think Chris needs to go. I wouldn't even put him with Sean Garrett. He needs to go with like pure, like. He honestly might need to get like Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis.
Nah.
And, you know, like, oh, a mix of old. And I'm serious, man.
I mean, no. Hold on. Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis is cold. So, I mean. It'd be dope. But
even look at the stuff
Chris,
that they've contributed to recently. Go back and listen to, like, Usher, Can You Help Me? And just really, really study how amazing that song is.
I would love to hear an authentic Chris Brown R&B joint.
Like, he's a younger kid.
My dog. Like,
yeah, for sure. So, I mean, it's more natural for him to do the party joints. Like,
yeah, that,
the joints
that,
with
that's,
Usher, like, that's his bag. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I'd like to hear a solid,
he doesn't
like,
have a wedding record.
R&B joint.
I don't think he
wants
one.
I don't
want
to hear Chris Brown.
I don't think he wants one though.
I wouldn't want it.
But you hear him at the wedding.
I ain't
anyway.
Like his Christmas joke.
I want to hear a timeless record. Like what on the last album, Heartbreak on a Full Moon? Can you say
that's
was
not? But you don't really got to.
You're
see,
not gonna get that.
See, the thing is with music. The thing is with music, you don't have to count the last effort as his final effort. Chris won't stand behind that as being his best work.
Sure. No.
Like, he's not going to come out and say that. Like, if we're talking about people tapering off and losing steam, you got to talk about your boy Usher that you just brought up.
But Usher is allowed to do that because he peaked.
Why is he allowed to make No Limit? Why is he allowed to?
Because he went diamond.
But I'm saying, like, after Confessions, Usher got questionable work.
Usher
he had all the support to make a powerful album.
What happened?
He went through two divorces.
The front runners in R&B.
And the first
gotta
one.
Hold the, they got to hold the torch. So, yeah, they got to sell records. So, get your bag off. Put your single out. You know, legs in it, moving air, smack it side to side. Do that. Like, but on your body of work, I need some R&B. That's me, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, art is subjective. Me, I want some singing. When Beyonce puts out a whole joint and it's this like staccato, triplet, she can do that all day. She gonna sell because she Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
But you are the queen right now. Like, you're the queen right now. You Queen B right now of R&B. How you not doing it? And she can do it all day. If she, what's that joint Dream wrote? The
Love on Tap.
That one, it was on the album. It was that, if I ain't got nothing.
Oh,
I
One Plus One.
You. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's a straight R&B joint. She not going to lose no sales by doing that.
Yeah.
But when you try to follow fads and say, I mean, I don't know, man.
I feel like it's
balanced. Like, I like everything.
You're an anomaly to me because you're like a purist who also has this wind of like understanding of like.
You just got to. I appreciate her.
She needed
things.
The Migos yeah. for the
Again,
last
I didn't
album.
Need it. Like, she didn't really. But like.
I can dig it. I just don't want a whole album of it.
B just had fun. Like, album was short. It won't even count as, you know what I'm saying?
Anything. Jay and Jay was
they dropped
fired.
It in the middle. Yeah. In the middle
of a tour.
So it was really that, to on, keep the, you
no,
know
that
what
was amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about that one. Because you
talking about Lemonade.
I'm talking about Lemonade.
You didn't like Lemonade?
Now, what was the one before Lemonade?
Beyonce, the joint that came out of nowhere. That the surprise
one,
album, that Beyonce.
One. And there was some drinks I liked on it. That was the one with the
she always
watermelon.
Gave you
watermelon.
Yeah.
I've been drinking.
But I had hated Jay and Beyonce together before Everything Is Love.
I know a lot of people.
Too gimmicky.
That
nothing was good.
Like, to me, the best song.
Those were flawed things of Jay's catalog. Him and Usher collaborations are things
you're
that fell short.
Me. That was.
But that's a Beyonce.
Oh, you mean when they
do like the best song? Well, look, the best you. Song that they did together that wasn't on that album. If you want to talk R&B and you know, like vocal arrangement, go back and listen to Part 2 on the Run. And listen to the runs that Beyonce is hitting on there. Yeah. Like, it sounds like a 90s cruising R&B record.
So, look, since we're talking about Beyonce, Usher, Chris Brown, some of the, like, the staple R&B artists of this era, okay? There's been a subject that has divided the R&B community. Dare I say the black community. That has divided us, right? Okay. When we talk about eras in anything, you got to talk about the greats, right? We're not going to talk 90s basketball and not talk about Jordan, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk early 2000s NBA and not talk about Shaq and Kobe, right?
Correct.
So when we talk about 90s female R&B, okay, there's been a subject that has divided us as a fabric. You want to get your headphones off of this, man. I worked hard on this, man.
Oh, you're about to talk about...
You already know where I'm going with
Monica
this.
Monica and Brandy.
Yeah, you already know. Keem, you want to put your headphones on? Keem, the franchise is in the building right
like,
now.
He's like, y'all going to hear these damn sounds. I worked hard.
He been hiding behind the camera, man. But listen to me, okay? This is a segment we got called Let's Argue, okay?
Listen, Linda. Listen.
Ooh.
You want to argue?
Hey, you want to argue?
Hey, listen. If you want a motherfucking argue, cool.
Throughout time,
yeah,
disagreements have broken households, divided countries,
yeah,
disassembled empires.
It's going down today at the Lunch Table Podcast.
At the lunch table, we shall argue.
Who's got the bag? 90s female R&B. Who's holding it down right now? We got to talk that talk. We going to talk it, right? Come on now. Yeah, see, you see why I want your headphones on? Yeah, it ain't over with that.
But you know the problem with the beef.
What's the problem?
It's not the music. Brandy won't let it go.
There's a reason for that. We're going to get into all that. Again, I feel like I got a Monica room right now, so this is good. We finna hash it out. I'm the ultimate Brandy stan.
Brandy had the hits.
Yeah, she had the producers. But we just going to talk vocals. We don't even got to.
Oh, no, see, but that's it. Mm-hmm. Look. Yeah.
That's what the beat. That's a totally different thing.
That's it right there.
It's what we going to get into.
Anytime you have to marginalize somebody's success, like we're talking about Jay-Z, the great. Like, call him out, Train. Who the best
call
rapper,
him out, Train.
But who didn't, you know, have all number one albums, who didn't drop an album every year from 96 to 03, who didn't have a collab album, who didn't drop an album on 9/11.
Hold on.
Like, that's what you're doing right now. No.
Well, let's be clear. We talk career. This ain't even a conversation.
Oh,
right?
My God.
Number one, shout out to DJ L Book for the mix.
Okay.
For throwing that together for the
Buggy
homie.
Bug.
Shout out to myself for the dope segments, the segment intros. I'm really proud of myself.
I love myself.
Shout out to Jazz for letting me get in the studio for like 15 minutes to do that. You the real GOAT. Okay. If we talking career, I don't feel like it's even a conversation. Because Monica, at this point, is not, I don't know where she's at.
Where is Brandy at?
Brandy right now is acting.
Brandy acting just, in what?
She's on Star on Fox.
You're right. I don't watch that show, but you're right.
So something you watch that show?
She was on The Game.
Do you watch that show?
I don't.
She killed The Game. She killed The Game. Like, that show was... No. Killed it in a bad way.
And that was 10 years ago.
Moesha.
No, The Game just went off.
I'm just talking about overall. Her career went outside of music. She had a persona that wasn't just music. We going to go into everything. If it's just vocals, we might have a conversation, but if we go career...
Well, you posed this argument, so you have to lay out what the argument is.
I want to argue vocals, but Train advocated for...
No. Go ahead. No. Go ahead. Get shit off. Go.
Okay, Lilla. Brandy, for singers, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're just an R&B fan and you have a certain type of voice you like, if you like a more heavy vocal, okay, you're always going to side with Monica.
Mm.
But I always say this. I know 6 chicks I could call right now who will body Monica vocally.
Who are the 6?
Janae Lynn, Janice, Kezia. Shout out to all y'all.
It's funny because Kezia has been known to have comparisons to Brandy in terms of her vibrato.
So here's the thing, though. Brandy can do what Monica can do.
That she was
can.
Only 3.
He gonna sorry. Hold you to no.
He says something about Kezia.
We're gonna hold you. The floor is yours. Hey, go ahead. No, hey, don't run with it.
I'm so happy y'all niggas is here. I got the right nigga. Look. What was that? Hold on. What was my listening off?
You
I don't even know what
Kezia. You got 2 more. Fam.
You said who would body Monica?
Who would body Monica? Let's hear it.
Music wise, I do prefer Brandy.
Chechi Sarai.
Okay.
Kiara Shear.
Most definitely, 100%.
Shoot, I mean,
so wouldn't they body Brandy too?
No,
Kiara.
No. Kiara Shear will body.
Well, I was just saying.
Yeah,
no,
Kiara Shear is like that was unfair of me even putting her in this conversation
because arguments are just to poke holes in.
Yeah, I got you, but Brandy can do what Monica can do. She can growl,
except get over something. That's
so look, are you gonna argue her personality?
No, that's what the Monica isn't thinking about Brandy for real.
Monica tried to capitalize on Brandy's hit. The Boy Is Mine was her record.
Their joint record?
No, really? No. That decision was made after success came into play. It was only supposed to be on Brandy's album. Monica's album was coming out and The Boy Is Mine wasn't a part of it. Then said, oh, this album's huge. Let's add it.
She shouldn't
be over it. I'm not arguing that she shouldn't be over it.
You know what we forget about?
I'm just
about?
Saying she's a better singer and artist.
This is what kind of makes Brandy look bad. I know we forget. Yeah. We forget that they did a record together like 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
No, because Brandy forgets that they did it.
Right. Like, a lot of times, people, like, when people be talking about, like, yo, they you know, been beefing, like, they was on each other's record. They was on stage together not too long.
It's like
it wasn't until recently that Brandy said something about Whitney Houston.
No, she keeps saying something about Whitney Houston.
It's like when Jordan gets in the debate when people say LeBron is as good as him, and you hear him might throw a little jab out there, like, nah, you can never be me. Because to him, it's insulting that he should even be in a conversation. If there was a rapper right here who was just absolutely trash, and every time we talk about this rapper, we put in there, who's better, him or Train, you'd be like, why, nigga, why is this a conversation? Do you know what I do?
But Russ, nobody is doing this but Brandy.
Oh, no. Listen to me. I need you to go to my Facebook page. I got like three times, I poke a fight every week, and I say, yo, if you think Monica's the best singer than Brandy, then I don't know. I can't trust you. I can't leave money around you. I don't know what you'll do. I don't know what you'll do. I don't even. And there is niggas like me who out here who just don't get it. Like, why would you even think? Go on YouTube right now. If you watching, shout out to Franchise Media Group. If you watching the pre-recorded,
Damn.
If you listening right now, go to YouTube right now and search Monica National Anthem, Floyd Mayweather. Okay? And listen to her botch the national anthem. Then I want you to go down the YouTube rabbit hole and try to find me a live performance from Brandy where her vocals sounded less than stunning. Not even as bad as Monica's, because I just want you to find me a live joint where she sounded off or bad. It won't happen.
She wasn't off during the Whitney Houston tribute on
absolutely,
BET?
Absolutely not.
You sure? She had on the brown jacket. I think she either did I Want to Dance with Somebody or I'm Your Baby Tonight. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, she wasn't off. She just wasn't Whitney. And I don't know who is.
Okay. I'll roll with that.
Yeah, I didn't think she was off, but anytime you sing in a Whitney joint, they're going to hold you to the standard of Whitney.
That's why tributes a lot of times aren't fair. But,
yeah,
you know.
Fact.
Well, there's people out here can do it right, though.
Yeah.
You just got to recruit the right people.
I need rebuttals, though. We supposed to be arguing. It seemed like y'all kind of fizzling
no,
out.
No, well, I mean, but our whole thing was we felt like overall King. It was like, you know, you had to.
The argument is that Brandy is the person who's holding. Brandy needs the grudge to be relevant musically.
Negative.
And
if it was about the music, when the last time anything Brandy has charted? When the last time anybody mentioned a Brandy song? In your medley that you played, that was great. You ain't played nothing in 2000 anything.
If you go right now to Apple Music, type begging and pleading Brandy, you'll be blown away.
I never heard
okay.
it. I'm not talking about the talent.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, like, she comes from an era where the labels pushed everything. I don't think she even knows how to, like.
And that's why she keeps picking this damn fight. Monica not think. Monica go. Think about, like, as Instagram has proven, who is, name any other person who doesn't like Monica personally. You can't.
We're not talking about who has better personality.
No. But that's why, without your girl holding on to a made up beef, like she's using it as press. Because now she brings this up every 6 months because apparently she's putting music out that nobody's
Monica's
listening
on,
to.
Monica
and I still
right
do believe
now,
Monica vocally is better.
Monica on TV. Right.
Monica's
now.
On T.I.'s Family Affair.
Family Hustle.
That's cool.
Family
that's cute. That's cool.
So what's up? Shout out to T.I. Grand Hustle.
And she's
gang.
Better vocally.
I'm cringing every time you say it. It's
I'm
like
just
I'm about
saying.
To pass out.
Go back and listen to the Joint
That's
on the Space Jam
fight.
Soundtrack.
That's not my fight here. You know what I'm saying? I'm open and having more jams.
Well, I don't have no rebuttal for you. If you just saying she's whack for keeping the beef going, I concur. I concur.
That's all I get.
I side with you on that. Just like Nicki whack right now for all this foolery she's doing. That's another
subject. Yeah, that's a whole other subject for another
but,
day.
But you win that argument. That's not that I'm not trying to have.
That's it.
She's trash.
That
for
like
that. That's not even
so you're trying to tell me that's if it. You give Monica
Chap
some of Brandy's classic records
she
from,
she couldn't,
from Monica, Full Moon.
Monica cannot sing
they,
a Brandy record.
They two
They're
different.
Two different vocals.
Yeah.
Brandy,
Monica couldn't kill put that on everything.
That if might be more of her record.
No.
I'm thinking no. all I can think like
it'd be
even,
a whole different record.
Even their Kanye records are different.
Yeah,
like I don't like Brandy couldn't do So Gone, and then Monica
she could,
couldn't.
Though. Listen
not,
to me.
Not for what it is.
She can sing that way, like that hefty tone, that husky Monica. Before you walk on, all that y'all love, Brandy can do that. She just doesn't. That's not her. Like stylistically, she just doesn't go there. But it's clips of her just singing a cappella, like where she like. I didn't even know she could sing like that.
Monica sounded better on The Boy Is Mine the more I listened to the song. Maybe you misunderstood. I can't see how he could.
Listen to me. Yo, check this out. We're going to open it up to the public right now. I'm almost done with my Red Bull. It's 2:58, so we winding down on time. So listen to me. We're going to pass it to you guys right now. Under the comments, please let us know who's winning the vocal battle. Okay.
Let's hear it.
Brandy or Monica. Train. Siding with Monica vocally, I'm siding with Brandy. Marcus ain't even trying to get in this debate.
Oh, and I may argue with you in the comments
trash. Because I think without Brandy dragging this on, like, you wouldn't have to do this debate. It's a better matchup to make vocally with the two of them, like with somebody else.
It's true. For sure.
So that's what you got to take this fight back, because it's without Brandy holding on to that, it's nothing to talk about as far as the comparison. Because the voices are different. You said several times here, Keem is the recap here, that says they do different things vocally.
They do different things
so
vocally.
So you got to get somebody who does the same thing vocally, and then you
they
duke
both
it out.
Sing R&B. No, they're in the same lane.
Stop saying
their
that.
Voices are different, but
they both was 90s kids.
Sing,
like,
they both sing 90s.
Because you wouldn't put Toni Braxton in there with.
Now that's too.
No, but I'm just saying though.
Toni
like,
Braxton sound like a nigga.
But I'm saying, but her voice is her voice. So somebody with that tone, then you will match them up.
I
get what he's saying from where it's like, look here. Y'all came out at the same time. Yeah. Y'all was occupying the same lane.
But
who got it?
That's why the beat was so real. They
we didn't think about it until your girl keep bringing it up. Bring Jasmine Sullivan in the conversation.
I always thought about it. I've been arguing this since The Boy Is Mine. I never let it go.
He
the
wasn't.
Beef is so real. If a beef with me,
if Mekhi Phifer can let it go, they can both let it go.
If a beef with me, we going to be forever. Hey, listen, man. We thank y'all for joining us today. We'll be back not next week, but the week after that with another episode two. I'm going to see if I can get these upstanding gentlemen in here with me again. We thank you guys. We love you guys. Tune in with us next time on the Lunch Table Podcast, bitch.